Welcome back to the Florida History Podcast. I'm Carter Krishnire. On our podcast a few weeks ago, we talked about the Matanzas Inlet and where the slaughter of the Huguenots took place. Our podcast on Fort Caroline, I should say, from a few weeks ago. And last week we talked, actually the last 2 weeks in the podcast on the Castillo de San Marcos and on Fort Mose, we spoke about the War of Jenkins' Ear and the Siege of St. Augustine by the British in 1740. So today's podcast will build upon both of those events. Fort Matanzas was built by the Spanish after the establishment of Savannah by James Oglethorpe in the colony of Georgia in 1733, which put a lot of pressure on Florida, as we talked about in the last two episodes. And in 1736, Fort Frederica, which is actually worth visiting if you're into Florida history, which I visited it. It's in St. Simon's Island, Georgia. It's not in Florida, but it's just north of the state line, 30 miles, 40 miles north of the state line. Worth visiting. Was built in 1736 to defend Georgia. It ends up defending Georgia, right? Fort Frederica is where the British win the decisive battle when the Spanish invade Georgia from Florida in 1742. But at this point, the Spanish think it might be an offensive fort to launch an invasion of Florida, which it was, as we've talked about the Siege of St. Augustine in 1740. So, just as Fort Mose in 1738 is being built and housed by free African Americans, runaway slaves from the possessions north of St. Augustine as a defensive barrier against a land invasion from the north, Fort Matanzas is being built basically at the site of the slaughter that took place in 1565. Menendez slaughters Ribault and the Huguenots. That basically at that same point, a fort is being constructed, a small defensive fort, Fort Matanzas. In April of 1738, Pedro Ruiz de Alano was appointed to be the resident engineer of the colony of Florida, colony of La Florida, by the Spanish crown. Now, for him, the major project was the Castillo de San Marcos, reinforcing it with the potential war coming with Britain. And Fort Matanzas, which succeeded a small wooden fort, would have to be reinforced. So there was a small wooden fort, which was built actually soon after that massacre of the Huguenots and had stood this whole time because the British had never gotten that far south, or they had attacked, as we've talked about in previous podcasts, Sir Francis Drake in 1586, Robert Searle in 1668. They came by sea, attacked St. Augustine, the town, and that was that. So that wooden fort had been built in 1569, I think, 1568, 1569, around that period, and was still the major structure that was standing in that part of what is now St. John's County, right? But south of St. Augustine. So the war starts. Alano has not really reinforced or strengthened the fort. And as we talked about in both the Castillo episode and in the Fort Mose episode, the last 2 weeks, June of 1740, Oglethorpe lays siege to St. Augustine. We've gone through the siege. We went through the siege into Castillo and Fort Mosse. Episodes. But in the early days of July, the blockading ships from the British were at Matanzas Inlet. And they moved out of Matanzas Inlet and went to join the blockade of St. Augustine's Inlet. So provisions from Cuba were able to come to St. Augustine, supplies and provisions, through Matanzas Inlet to reinforce the Castillo. And as we know, as we've talked about the last 2 weeks, Oglethorpe then raised the siege July 20th, 1740. But this was an important lesson to Governor Montiano, who we've spoken about the last 2 weeks, as well as to Olano, who had not effectively reinforced that wooden fort at the entrance of Matanzas Inlet. So Montiano ordered in the fall of 1740, didn't waste much time, the erection of a permanent fort on Matanzas Inlet. And he didn't wait for royal approval to do this. He went ahead and ordered this, a rare show of autonomy from a royal governor of Florida. So by October of 1740, construction has begun under Olano. And the British were then made aware by their allies, their Native American allies. As we've talked about in the last couple episodes, the Native Americans in the area generally aligned with the British in the War of Jenkins' Ears. And so they try and destroy the fort. They're not able to. Of course, Florida invades Georgia and is defeated at Fort Frederica. Montiano is defeated by Oglethorpe. So kind of the status quo, the pre-war status quo, is returned. And in 1750, Spain acknowledges Georgia's, the British right to occupy Georgia. Georgia had been claimed as part of Florida by the Spanish up until that point, even though in reality, the Spanish had retrenched from the areas north of the St. Mary's River as early as 1587. They had not really colonized north of there after Sir Francis Drake's raid on St. Augustine in 1586. So what had effectively been the situation for 150 years was now just made formally official. But still, this fort had to be built in the event of the next war. The fort was a difficult fort to build. The mud was very difficult to get an anchor in. The fort features a gun deck, which is about 11 feet above the ground, which was tough to embed in the ground. And there was a lack of stable ground to build the fort. The fort's major feature, as many of you probably know now who have visited it, was its tower. And it's got a very, very, very purposeful tower for a lookout, which is very useful. And the capacity of the fort is very small, so about 40 men maybe could fit into the fort, and it had 6 cannons. That's it. Very small fort. If you go to Fort Matanzas today, you have to take a boat. You would access it. You'd go from Palm Coast. You can cross the causeway there. I guess there's a way you can get to it from St. Augustine also. I've gone from Palm Coast. That's how I've gone. And you have to take a boat to the fort. And the thing that strikes you about the fort is it's very small. It's almost as striking as how small the Alamo is if you go to San Antonio. And think about all those men holed up in the Alamo. Fort Matanzas is really small. Matanzas was completed around 1742, around early 1742, and was attacked by the British in September of 1742. The fort held. Spanish warships and batteries around St. Augustine Inlet aided the fort as the British tried to enter and attack St. Augustine towards the end of War of Jenkins' Ear, after they've defeated Montiano at Fort Frederica on St. Simon's Island. They're trying to attack St. Augustine, this time from the south. Sail past St. Augustine, slip up Matanzas Inlet, attack St. Augustine. We would call it a backdoor attack, right? That would be the terminology we use today. So on September 10th, two English ships sailed into Matanzas Inlet to try and take the surrounding area. General Oglethorpe was on one of these ships, Fort Matanzas repulsed the invasion. Incredibly, the fort held. And it became an important part of the defense system that the British put in place against the Americans once the British took over East Florida in 1763, and the American Revolution broke out in 1775. The fort at Matanzas was in great shape when the British took over, and they did not need to modify it. Whereas, as I'm talking about in the book I'm writing currently, which should be out in November of 2023, out in a few months, on the British and the American Revolution, they had to make all kinds of modifications to the Castillo de San Marcos, which they renamed Fort St. Mark, because there were things fraying in the fort. As we've talked about repeatedly, several efforts were made by the Americans to invade East Florida, and they were repulsed by the British. And as I said last week, the British never got any further than the area immediately north of what is now Jacksonville Airport, JAX. So northern Duval County, if you want to look at a modern map, is as far as the Americans got in their multiple attempts to invade East Florida. Now, once the Americans took, the Spanish, I should say, took, who had entered the war by this time on the side of the Americans and the French, took Pensacola in May of 1781, there were efforts made to upgrade Fort Matanzas by the British. Brigadier General Archibald MacArthur ordered the reinforcement, and it was further strengthened. The fort was ready for a major battle if the French Navy and the Spanish Navy were often patrolling off the coast of St. Augustine, and there were American privateers off the coast. Now, there was a huge Royal Navy presence during the war in and around St. Augustine, protecting St. Augustine, but there was this back doorway in Matanzas Inlet that would be of concern. Now, the Americans didn't have to do that, because after Yorktown, St. Augustine swelled, Loyalists came to St. Augustine, and the British intention was to hold East Florida, but they had to give it up in a treaty. In the Treaty of Paris, they had to give it back to Spain. So Spain's back in control of East Florida, and they improved the gun deck at Fort Matanzas in the 1790s, and have to rebuild the walls in order to stop some cracking and sealing. Again, the foundations of the fort were very weak, as we talked about when they were built. The Spanish, who, as we talked about in the last show, by 1808 are in alliance with Britain, and Britain is in almost constant conflict with the United States, so there's potentially another war coming, and another war would come. So in 1809, the Spanish put a lot of work into repairing the fort, but there was inconsistent repairs. The Spanish had allowed a state of anarchy really to emerge in Florida, which also, the power vacuum was filled by Native Americans, the Seminole people, and their allies, the British. Well, the Spanish and the Seminoles were allied with the British, all against the Americans. So the British are de facto in control of parts of the colony, but there's no effort really made to completely redo the foundation of Fort Matanzas. Gets struck by lightning in 1820, and at that point the fort is completely unusable. Spain cedes Florida to the United States in July of 1821, and it becomes an American fort, and the U.S. does nothing with it for 100 years, and then finally decides that they'll restore the fort if for only for historical purposes, which is how it is today, as we know. So the fort is rebuilt, or it's not rebuilt, but is shored up, and that's how it is today as a national monument. We will be back next week, and we're going to leave the St. Augustine area, and I think we're going to go a little further north up to the area around Fernandina Beach and talk about the forts there next week, beginning next week on the Florida History Podcast. Thank you for listening.